Would you like to know the secret to living a life of blessing? Here's Skip Heitzik to reveal it.
Obedience is the ground of blessing in the Old Testament. Now, here is the difference, by the way, one of the differences between the Old and the New Testament. If you're a Christian and you fail, you don't do all that God wants you to do, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God made a covenant with you that is unconditional, not based upon your ability to perform it, but based upon Jesus Christ who did fulfill it. So that God has commanded his blessing to you. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and live any way you want to, disobey God, because you'll be blessed anyway. Oh, no. You'll live a miserable life unless you live a holy life.
Make the connection.
We live in a culture that is all about the new and isn't interested in the old. We're always anxiously awaiting the new iPod, the new cell phone, the new HDTV, or new laptop, the new car, the new trend, the new whatever. And what do with the old? Well, we discard it, we ignore it, and we get rid of it. Maybe that's why when it comes to the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, some prefer just to skip over these portions of Scripture. However, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik shows us that just because something is old doesn't mean it's no longer relevant or useful. We'll find out more in just a moment. But before we begin, here's how you can explore the Bible more in depth when you study it at home.
Here's a resolution for 2010 that can last far beyond February 1st. As you take a part in the Bible from 30,000 feet on The Connection, we want to offer a set of Bible study tools that will help you dig deeper into the Word of God. First in this set is Skip Heitzig's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It. Here you'll cover the basics and discover tools and helpful hints as you learn to search the Scriptures. In-depth Bible study will become easier with the Nelson Bible Dictionary and the new Strong's Concordance, both in compact size. All three of these books are in our Connection Study Kit for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Studying and understanding the Bible isn't just the job of your pastor. It's the job of every Christian who wants to grow and thrive in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Get Skip's How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, plus a compact version of a Bible dictionary and Strong's Concordance, all for just $30. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we sure look forward to hearing from you. And if you mention that this was your first time to listen to The Connection, we'll also send you a free bonus booklet from Skip Heitzik. So write us today or call 1-800-922-1888. And now let's find out just how much the Old Testament and the Old Covenant still applies to us and what sort of principles they reveal that can improve our relationship with God.
And make the
open your Bibles once again to the book of Leviticus. Let's join Skip Heitzik as he gets today's study started.
You'll come back with Jesus to Israel to put to an end the Battle of Armageddon. And then Jesus will set up the kingdom in Jerusalem, and you'll see him remake it, reconstitute it, and you'll be there. However, I've always thought it's nice to sort of have a before and after comparison. You know, you see the picture of the guy looking really mangy before, and then he gets some kind of a makeover. It's like, wow, something to compare it to. So it's kind of nice to see it now. You go, boy, I remember what it used to look like. It's really cool right now. So come to Israel with us. Chapter 25 and chapter 26. Take us to the community of Israel. The community of Israel. The corporate life of Israel was to be different. The difference should be seen morally, should be seen organizationally, should be seen devotionally, but also should be seen corporately as a community of people gathered together, how they cared for one another, how they loved one another, how they handled people that had debts in their midst and couldn't pay their debts, how they would treat people who lost their land and couldn't get it back. So chapter 25, verses 1 through 7, is an interesting concept, the Sabbath year, the Sabbath year. This is how it worked. It was pretty cool. You would work for 6 years, and the seventh year, you would let the land lie empty, fallow. You would not do anything in terms of harvest or agriculture. You wouldn't work the land. Whatever grew of itself the seventh year, you would go out and eat. And God said, if you do that, I'll make sure the seventh year really blesses you, and you'll have yield for a few years. So they'd work 6 years. The seventh year, they'd let it lie fallow. And so that one-seventh, listen to this, one-seventh of the time in Israel, the very rich and the very poor were on equal footing. One wasn't better than the other. They all went out to the fields to get whatever they could get, no matter who owned it. God said that he would give them enough and provide for them. Now, verse 8 speaks about the Jubilee. The Jubilee after the Hebrew word yovel, or trumpet. Verse 8. You shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet so to sound throughout all of your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. So, on the Day of Atonement, every 50th year, so you had 6 years, seventh year follow, you do that 7 times, that's 49 years. The 50th year on the Day of Atonement was the year of jubilee, the blowing of the trumpet, and I brought a trumpet here besides a teapot. This is a ram's horn. This ram's horn is the yovel. It was blown for feasts. It was blown on the year of Jubilee. And when it was blown, people probably went, ah, yeah. You say, well, Skip, the Bible doesn't say, ah. Why do you say that? Because in the year of Jubilee, all slaves went free. All debts were canceled, and all of the land that had been lost reverted to its original owners. So, we have a little footage of somebody blowing a trumpet in Israel. He's going to blow it. You're going to hear it. Kenny's going to turn up the sound, and then I'm going to blow this one. We're going to have a little contest, this guy and me. Okay, well, that was pretty good. Now, I'm not an expert at this, and I'm not blowing my own horn. Really, this isn't my horn. This belongs to Nelson, and I did it on purpose. I didn't want to blow my own horn. Here it is. That means if you're a slave, you can go free, and whatever land you lost goes back to your family. Now, around the year 1393 BC is when the children of Israel started counting the Jubilee years. Say, Skip, why are you telling me this? Because scholars have done a pretty good job in counting the Jubilee years up to the New Testament, and many of them believe that Jesus, in a jubilee year, went into the synagogue of Nazareth, quoting Isaiah chapter 61, said to them, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has called me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bound and the captives from their captivity, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to bring freedom, to cancel the debt, And to have people who have been lost to go back to their original owner, and that's God, coming to set the captives free. Now, chapter 26, and look, we're almost done. Boy, are we going to make it before on time tonight. Chapter 26, and I'm only going to read two verses from it, but I call this chapter the iffy chapter. It's the iffy chapter because the word if appears about 9 times. If you do this, if you do that, if you promise to obey, if. And then 23 times the Lord says, I will, I will, I will. If you do this, then I will do that. So it's called an iffy chapter. Here's just a couple of verses. Verse 3, if you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So God will respond to the if. What am I saying? Here's the principle. Obedience is the ground of blessing. Obedience is the ground of blessing. In the Old Testament. Now, here is the difference, by the way, one of the differences between the Old and the New Testament. If you're a Christian and you fail, you don't do all that God wants you to do, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, God made a covenant with you that is unconditional, not based upon your ability to perform it, but based upon Jesus Christ who did fulfill it. So that God has commanded his blessing to you. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and live any way you want to, disobey God, because you'll be blessed anyway. Oh, no. You'll live a miserable life unless you live a holy life. Because the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, the book of Jude tells us. That doesn't mean God loves you more one day and less the next day, but look at it like the sunshine. The sun is always shining, but you can put an umbrella and go out in the sun and not experience the warmth of the sun. Today wouldn't have been a bad idea to do that, by the way. The love of God is always shining. You can have an umbrella of sin that separates you from enjoying the effect of God's love. So keep yourselves in the love of God. How? By being holy, by being devoted, committed, obedient to him, and you'll enjoy life so much more. The key to happiness is holiness. Now chapter 27, and this is where we conclude tonight. And this is the fifth and final segment of this book. The difference should be seen voluntarily. Okay, remember where we started. God wants you and I to be holy, different. The difference is to be seen morally and how we live our lives on a moral level. The difference is to be seen organizationally when it comes to organizing worship, especially those in ministry. The difference is to be seen devotionally in our times of commitment and devotion to the Lord. Fourth, it's to be seen in the community, how we care for one another corporately. And finally, the difference should be seen voluntarily, and that's chapter 27. Here's something weird about chapter 27. If you've read all of the chapters of Leviticus like I have, maybe you just read the key ones, and that's fine. Believe me, it's a big book. But if you read through Leviticus, then you come to chapter 27, you kind of go, huh? I don't get this chapter. It almost seems added, like it's an addendum, like it doesn't belong here, like it's a postscript. But that wouldn't be right. No. Chapter 27 is the very heart of sacrifice. Verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow certain persons to the Lord according to your valuation. Verse 14, when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord. Verse 16, if a man dedicates to the Lord part of a field of his possession. All of chapter 27 speaks about voluntary vows, not obligatory worship. Not you have to keep these festivals. Not you must do the trespass and sin offering. All of these are voluntary vows that express thanksgiving to God. Now, before coinage, dollars and cents and shekels and things were passed around, people would dedicate things to the Lord or persons to the Lord. Then they'd have to redeem or buy back those persons with some kind of silver bit that would be given to the sanctuary. But here's the message here. True worship is voluntary. True worship doesn't have to be coerced or worked up. Come on, people, you're not true believers unless you do this or do that. And I have seen services where you can get coerced and pumped up, and it's like a pep rally. If it's not in your heart, it's not there. You can't manufacture it. True worship is voluntary. Again, Jesus said the Father is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. I one time had a very bad church experience. I was a brand new believer, and I went to a church, didn't know anything about it that night, and it was very lively service. And I was sitting in the front. I wanted to get everything I could out of it. And the pastor said, okay, everybody right now, lift your hands up. So everybody's lifted their hands. Okay, now everybody start speaking in tongues. And then I looked around and I thought, these people are like aliens. They're saying weird things out to me. And the pastor noticed that I wasn't cooperating because I was new. I was observing. And he said, hey, get your hands up. I thought, what, are you going to rob me? Get your hands up. And start doing this and start speaking that way. And I thought to myself, he doesn't look much like the Holy Spirit. I think that's the Holy Spirit's job, not his job, to tell me to do that. You can't manufacture it. It has to be voluntary. Your heart has to be in it. And I just frankly didn't understand it at the time. So the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, in view of all that God has done in showing his mercy to you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So my practice on a daily basis is that, Lord, I begin my morning giving you my body. I present my life to you today. What do you want me to do? What's your will, your plan? Reveal it to me. I'm yours. I want you to know that. It's voluntary. It's something I want to do, not something I have to do. Look at verse 28. Nevertheless, no devoted offering that any man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. So if you give it from your heart. I always make sure that 10% of whatever the Lord has given us, I devote voluntarily, joyfully. I write my first check out to my church. And I don't write and go, oh, golly, there's something really cool I wanted to buy this month. Maybe I could like, I don't do that. It's not that 90% is mine and 10%, it's 100% is his. And I joyfully give that 10%. But then there's missionaries that we support and other special evangelistic projects that we support. So sometimes it's 20% or 30% of our income. But it's always to be done voluntarily, always to be done joyfully. Verse 34, these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now you know, anything good can become perverted. And did you know that by the New Testament times, this whole thing of offering voluntarily to God became corrupted? Remember in Mark chapter 7, Jesus speaks about this. There was a saying they had called Korban, which means it's a gift. And Jesus said, you know, you guys are weaseling out, I'm paraphrasing here, weaseling out of the commandment to honor your mom and dad by calling everything Korban. It's a gift. And so the fifth commandment said, honor your father and your mother. But people were saying, well, Lord, I just dedicate everything in my life to you. I dedicate my bank account. I dedicate my tents, my camels, my BMWs. Everything's yours, Lord. And then their parents the next day knocked on their tent and said, hey, son, daughter, could you help me out? Oh, I'd love to. I'd really love to give you some money, mom and dad, but all my stuff's been dedicated to the Lord. I can't help you out this month. Well, can I borrow your car? No, I'd like to, but it's been dedicated to the Lord. Can I borrow your camel? No, I know you'd walk a mile for a camel, but it's been dedicated to the Lord. It's Korban. So they were breaking God's commandment by misinterpreting the scripture. A warning. There is a danger in any institution or any church or any organization for institutions to usurp the authority of Scripture by their tradition. Sometimes I'll get questions like this, and I really don't like them. Well, what does Calvary stand on such and such a practice? My answer is, who cares? Well, what's your belief? Really, the issue is, what saith the Bible about that issue, that condition, more so than what is our stance? Now, if our stance is a biblical stance, hurrah. If it's not, don't pay any attention to it. You see, be Bereans, search the Scriptures daily to see if these things be so. So in closing, we're done now with Leviticus. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you like my teapot? Not do you like my teapot? That wasn't the question. I don't even like my teapot. Are you like my teapot? It's special. It's holy. Oh, it's ordinary, but it's designed and set aside for a special use and one use only. So has your life been set aside for God's purposes? Are you holy? Are you whole? W-H-O-L-E. The closer you and I walk to the Lord, the more whole we become, complete, satisfied, and we become holy. Holy is a great word. It's not a weird word, not a bad word, not a stuffy word. A great word. Be holy, for the Lord is holy.
It's true. You can be holy. In fact, Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the dead to help you attain that holiness. Through Christ, you can be set apart and used by God for His great purposes. But first, you have to take that initial step and come to the cross. And if you'd like to know how to do that, how to come to the cross so you can be made holy through Christ, we'd love to talk with you about that. Give us a call and let us tell you. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. And as you do that, we're going to have to wrap things up for today. So before we go, here's one way you can make a difference in the world by helping to spread the good news of the gospel.
Did you feel that? It's the world of technology shifting under our feet. Media delivery and communication is moving so fast, it seems like a landslide. Let's remember, the World Wide Web was not a major consumer factor in 1990. Now, we have screenagers who have never known life without Google. Our language has changed to include words like blog and phrases like, I'll Facebook you. It's changed entertainment with digital streaming of films on demand or opportunities to find 15 minutes of fame on YouTube. It's also changing evangelism by giving us opportunities to reach more people in more parts of the world than ever before. Let's remember, the Bible says all things were created for God's glory. So just as the Roman roads were really built not for legions, but for Paul's feet, the web's highest use is for the gospel and Bible teaching. At The Connection, we strive to stay on top of tech trends and use them to the max for our ministry. You can help as a member of the Global Connectors. With your monthly contribution, you'll make it possible for even more people in more countries to hear biblical teaching on the internet, to get digital and online resources to help people study the Bible, and for more people to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Plus, each month, we'll send you a little thank you gift. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Skip Heitzig called, You're on a Mission from God.
So you've seen that bumper sticker, I'd rather be fishing? God would rather have you be fishing too, but fishing for souls, fishing for men.
The Connection continues to find new ways to use technology to spread God's word around the world. And you can help make that happen as a Global Connector. Find out how you can sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And of course, if you'd prefer to just order today's teaching, you can do that when you call us as well. 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. It's available on CD for just $6, including shipping. And you can also order when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. We can also tell you more about how to get Skip Steve-O mail when you contact us. And don't forget that if you're a first-time listener, we'd also like to send you that free bonus booklet from Skip called New Year's Revolution. So write us today or call 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Well, in our next study, we'll move on to the book of Numbers, so be sure to join us as we learn more about how the formation of ancient Israel still has an impact on us as modern Christians. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.